Beautiful day outside today, and it's supposed to be warm again. That's all right. It won't be that long before we're complaining about how cold it is. Right? Did you turn that down a little bit? You're awesome. I'm nervous this morning as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Man, oh man. The Lord, last night as I was laying down and putting my head on the pillow for the last time, I was up several times and praying and thinking and doing that, he spoke to me. He said, I know you have an outline for this morning's Sunday school, for the morning Sunday school. He said, but I'd really like you to start going this way instead. Yeah, just as I laid my head down last night, so. This morning is going to be kind of extemporaneous. You know, I'm going to, as some call it, preach off the cuff, teach off the cuff, kind of. Brother Matt knows what I'm talking about, don't you? But it will correlate, of course. It is the basis that I got the outline to start with was because I had another burden from the Lord, and I want to share that this morning. I want to be faithful to Him. I don't want to be so locked into my notes that God can't speak to me to go some other way. The church, the Holy Ghost, is supposed to lead the church. Amen. And I want to be led of Him. Amen. So this morning, that's the reason. Usually what happens is I start out nervous as a long-tailed cat, and then a little while later I get okay. The Holy Ghost will come, and I'm good. But getting started, I wish you had my stomach right about now. That's what I'm thinking. Just pray for me, if you will. All right, brother, let's wait on for the offering. You have your handouts. We'll start on that. You can turn to those places in your Bible. That's really what I would like to do is look in our Bibles, have our Bibles open, and get something from the Lord. Mark it down, circle it later on, if you will. Go ahead and pray, brother. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. The class title, if you will, is called The Ring Round the Righteous. Now, as you look in our handout, or on your handout there, you'll see that I have several places for fill in the blanks. I want to go ahead and I want to fill those blanks in so we can focus on this other part this morning. The fact that for the child of God, there is a ring of protection from God around them. That there is a ring around the righteous. A ring of protection to keep you and me as we go through this life. And that's the whole thing that spawned the outline for me was the fact that God can, will, does, He protects us. Amen. Now, I didn't come unprepared. These are just some of the scriptures I went over this week to try and get this class around. It's three columns wide and stuff. It isn't that I don't have something else to teach. I wanted to get the mind of God about this whole thing, that there is a ring of protection around me. Now, I use Facebook as a ministry. I am limited in where I minister, but I try to use Facebook for my friends, for acquaintances, to both draw them closer to the Lord and also to encourage saints. I don't post the pictures of my dog on the computer, and you know I don't do that kind of stuff. My goal is to encourage other folks to either be saved or to be encouraged in the Lord. And last week, I posted something that was really heavy on my heart. And I want to get an understanding of it. That's the whole thing. I want to get an understanding of this ring of protection around the righteous. Now, there's only one way to be righteous, and it's not in and of ourselves. It's through Him, through Christ, and Christ alone. But for each of us, we're going to be clothed with a robe on the other side. And what is that robe going to be? It is the righteousness of the saints. We have a part to play in being righteous. There's positional and there's practical. Positionally, as soon as I get up from the altar, I'll never be any more righteous. When I've confessed my sins, I'll never be any more righteous in the sight of God than at that point. But then there is a life that has to be lived after that point. A life of righteousness, of dedication, of holiness. Amen. Of sanctification. And it is through those acts that in the spirit realm, we build our ring of protection. Now, some of you are looking at me kind of weird. I'm not talking about salvation by works. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being protected by works of righteousness that we do in accordance to a pure heart and in obedience to the Word of God. A ring of righteousness. Let's fill these out. The reason that we even need a ring, though, that we even need to be protected, is because we are in a conflict. Just in case you don't know, there's a war going on in the spirit realm. All around us, there is a battle raging. And you and I are involved in that battle. All around us, though, around each one of us that will be true to Christ, He has promised to protect us. Do you know there's a scripture that says that no man can pluck me out of His hand? Why? Because He's protecting us. Now, I can walk out, which is one of the stupidest things that anybody has ever done, but if I stay there, He'll protect me. Now, this week, how many of you have gone and seen things in the spirit realm? We've experienced them. We've noticed them, but I haven't seen anything this week in the spirit realm. I didn't see any angels. Any of you see any angels? What about a demon that manifested himself? Or you saw the glory of God fill a place like the Shekinah. Glory filled the temple. Anybody seen anything like that? No, but that realm exists still. That spirit realm is still there. And that is the real realm, if you will, that exists. This temple is all going away one day, and it's going to be completely renovated. And the spirit realm is what's going to take over. And this natural will be like that spirit realm is. There are things that we lose here by our actions that keep that hedge, that ring, from being built. Secret sins. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Acts of unrighteousness that the devil knows that we committed. Everywhere you go, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not. But he's got enough demons around to know what you do. And his minions can run back and forth and tell him, hey, so-and-so did this, Skip was this. He's got enough help that he can know a lot of what we do every single day. He knows if we're protected by God still. And the only way to be protected by God is to be living in a sinless state. Now, I'm not talking about a place of sinless perfection. I'm talking about known sin in our lives. Where we have all of our known sin dealt with. Now later on, tomorrow, you may get convicted as you read His Word, as the Holy Spirit works on you, as somebody preaches or teaches about some specific thing, where you are enlightened, a new thing in your life is revealed and you have to deal with it. But the devil knows how we deal with those things. He knows if he has an end, or if we have got the ring completely intact all around us. He knows. He knows when that guard has been let down. And we're open prey for him. Let's fill in these blanks. Because there is this conflict and there is this ring of protection that we want around us, we have to know some things about the conflict that we're involved in. So I want to fill in these blanks, and then I want to go back to where I was at just now. But the first blank is the certainty. The certainty of the conflict. There is a conflict. The certainty. The next one is that there's the cause of the conflict. The cause. The certainty is the first one. The second one is the cause. Amen. Hallelujah. The third one is the configuration of the conflict. The configuration of the conflict. Now, this next one is a twofer. You get two for one. It means the same thing, but the combatants in the conflict or the characters in the conflict. The combatants the characters. Now this next point is the one that spawned this whole outline, this whole thought process. And that's why I gave you scriptures here, so that this next week you can go home and you can look and see about this next point and build off it in your own life. And the next one is simply called the care during the conflict. God has provided for us to be taken care of while we're in the conflict, during the conflict. Amen. Then the last one is the conqueror through the conflict. The conqueror. So let me go over it again, starting at the top. The certainty of the conflict. The certainty. The cause of the conflict. The configuration of the conflict. The two-parter there is the combatants and the characters in the conflict. The one right above the scriptures there, the care during the conflict. And last but not least, the conqueror through the conflict. Amen. Turn in your Bibles there to the scripture there on our handout, Zechariah 2 and verse 5. Keep your finger there. Then also go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Zechariah 2:5. And I'm going to stop here. I don't know how you keep track of things in your Bible, you know, whether you use a gold highlighter for this and a gold or a brown or a red or a blue, whatever. But these are some scriptures that you ought to mark in your Bible. Read them again. Zechariah 2:5 says this, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now let's go to Job chapter 1. Remember, the title of the class today is The Ring Around the Righteous, or Round the Righteous. The Ring Round the Righteous. And it's my goal today is for us to leave here understanding that around the child of God there is a ring of protection. A ring of protection all around us. All around our lives. Every aspect of Skip Boyer, every part of my being is protected by God. There's a ring around me because I'm righteous through Him and Him alone. I've dealt with my known sins. There's no holes in that ring. Now tomorrow I'll probably bring a new day because that's just how the Lord, or a new thing. That's just how the Lord works. And that's okay. I'm up for that. I'm in this to win it. You know what I'm saying? I want to go all the way. Show me, Lord. Show me. Going on over to Job now. And here's what I want to get across if I can. Last week, as I'm contemplating this ring around the righteous, my heart's cry was, Lord, I understand that Job had a hedge around about his life. I understand that. But like so many of us at times, we put that in the Old Testament. We think about, well, hey, that's a perfect picture of people in the Old Testament. And surely if that's a biblical truth, then there should be some place in the New Testament that talks about the same thing. Well, I posted on Facebook this week, okay, Bible scholars, help me out here and show me where those two correlate. Take me to the New Testament. And there were a lot of very knowledgeable Bible friends of mine, Bible scholar friends of mine, that they drew a blank. This idea of a hedge, like Job's hedge. Now we can think about a lot of different scriptures about how we're protected. I mentioned one in the New Testament, that no man can pluck me out of his hand. But it doesn't come right out and say, hey, there is a ring of protection, or there's a hedge of protection. It doesn't come right out and say that. So I was reading in the book of Psalms, and here's what the correlation was, is the angel of the Lord encamps round about them, inhabits around about them that fear Him. Now I could say, I understand that. I can put those two things together. Because as I look in Job, here's what it says. Verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God. Tie those two things together. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear Him. Job's hedge was there because of this testimony that he had. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. We go on and we read in further down in the list there, or in the scriptures there, that Job, he was so concerned about his family then that he went ahead and he ministered for them. He was doing all the works of righteousness that he could do for them. It says that he was perfect. In today's day and age, what's the mantra of the new church? What is there saying? Well, nobody's perfect. Well, hey, here's Job even before the cross. Even before the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and God gives him the testimony that he's perfect. How could he be perfect? It's because of his faith in God. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. Does that sound like anybody else in the room here today? where when we put our faith and trust in Him, Christ's righteousness is applied to our life. Amen. As we go on and we look here, we see this hedge around about Job. Skip on down to verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth," or turns away, "is abhorred with, can't stand the sight of evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" He goes on. He says, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." There is a hedge around Job. Satan told God, "I can't get to him no matter what. You put a hedge around him. There is a ring of your protection around him. And I can't get to him." For you and I, we're content to have our ring of protection around the only place that God promised that it would be. And that's around our soul itself. God promised that no man could take us out of His hand. We can't be drawn to hell, plucked out of His hand and taken to hell. We can't be. We can't be attacked by the enemy at that point. God promised to protect us. But Job's hedge was a lot bigger, wasn't it? What does it say there? It's around everything that he has. And the testimony is because he was perfect, he eschewed evil, he abhorred evil. Now, this is Boyer commentary, and you don't have to believe this to go to heaven. But I believe we're quite satisfied with having our life protected, that some of us drop the ball in getting our hedge expanded. As a leader in a family, if you look at Job, he was so concerned for his children that every day he was doing everything he could to kick the hedge out, push it out further, protect more of the things that he loved. He went and he did sacrifices for his kids just in case his kids had sinned. He wasn't content with that knowledge that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven myself. I want the hedge out as far as it'll go. Amen. I heard a sermon once, and it blessed me. And just the thought of it will bless you too. But as I got to studying this, I got to find it isn't just quite 100% right. As I look at this life of Job, and then we know that as soon as God allows Satan to start doing things to him, that bad things happen right away. His kids are killed, all of his camels are carried off, servants are killed, all the animals, all that stuff is gone. His wife tells him, curse God and die. We see a lot of satanic activity as soon as God allows him to touch Job. The sermon that I heard put it like this. The fiery darts that are supposed to come at us? The Bible says that we're in a battle and the taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And the preacher told about how that every time, and how typified it was that as soon as Satan could attack Job, he didn't go to just prick him in his toe. He went to take him out. He went to take everything that he owned out. Everything that he loved out. Satan comes for what? To kill, to steal, and destroy. And as soon as God allowed him to touch anything, that's exactly what he did. But this preacher, he said, that those fiery darts that come at us, by the time they get to us, because they have to go through this hedge, they're whittled down, And they come and they hit us like toothpicks. And I said, "Woo! Praise God." And that's a good picture. And then he says, "But and if you could see on the other side of the hedge, all the shavings that came off those telephone poles, because Satan wants to take you out. Every dart is meant to take you out. If you could see on the other side of the hedge, all the shavings there from the telephone poles that are whittled down before God allows them to get to us." And we say, "Glory." But I read here that Satan says that he took a trip around this hedge of Job. If he could have got through it, he would have gotten through it. If you read here right, if I've read it right, I can rejoice over the fact that there are shavings on the other side of the fence or the other side of the hedge. I can rejoice about that. But as I studied it, those whole beams are outside there. There's nothing that can come through that hedge of protection. Or Satan would have put something through that hedge long before this. If you read on down through there, you'll see that God allows Satan to do some things to him. And we believe, I've taught it, that God took down the hedge around Job. No, he didn't. No more than he can drop the hedge of protection around the child of God, the born-again believer. He can't drop the hedge. He promised to protect us. And in that spirit realm, where you and I, obviously this week, we said earlier that we haven't been and seen or experienced, we go through there by prayer and all that kind of stuff, but God's hedge of protection is still standing around each one of us. And what's on the outside of it are poles, not shavings. But what God did do is He started to draw that hedge in. God never promised us that our kids would be saved. He promised if we train them up that they'd come back. I believe that. I do believe that. He never promised us that we'd have all kinds of camels and sheep and oxen. Never promised that. Never promised that we'd have all kinds of servants. What I'm saying to you is, God still never let Satan through that hedge. He just drew it in. He drew it in around Job's body, physical body. Because Satan came back again and he said, "Hey, if I touch his body, he'll curse you and I'll have him. He'll curse you to your face, God." And Satan still knew that he couldn't get through that hedge. Instead of here. Sorry. Satan still knew that he couldn't penetrate the hedge. Then when it comes to be the final part, we see that hedge is still there. It's just drawn right in tight around his heart. Because that's all he's promised to protect us. Now, if you think about that, those that are saved can remain saved to the end. Doesn't mean that everything we have is going to be hunky-dory. Doesn't mean that the things that we love won't be attacked. Boyer theology again. When you think about it like this, that hedge is drawn in close around our heart. We're content with that. We're glad we're saved. Instead of doing like Job did, pushing that thing out, pushing that hedge out around. How did he do it? How did he do that? By the works of righteousness that he did in fear and reverence for God. There was no other reason. There was no other reason for those things to be protected. But that Job ministered to his family and prayed that hedge of protection, did the works he had to do to make sure that that hedge was round about them. We're quite content. I've said this over and over. I'm going to say it again. To have our hedge around our heart so that we can go to heaven. While all around us, things that we love are being attacked. I was going to bring in my wife's hedge trimmers. See, I don't do hedge trimming at home. Think flat top, okay? Close and tight, you know, that's my motto on the hedges. She's got a set of hedge trimmers and she does good with it. The modern person, the modern believer, if you will, because they see things that draw them, they take the hedge trimmers to their own hedge. I did a little bit of a study and looked in Old England where they had thick hedges, tall hedges. Our Bible comes to us by way of England, so I could see the picture in my mind of this hedge where Satan was trying to go around it and couldn't find a way through it, protected on all sides by God. And there was this natural hedge the same way, so close, so dense, so full of briars that anybody trying to penetrate it would be pierced to pieces. And seeing that in my mind, I thought about the modern believer who wants to see on the other side of the hedge. There are allurements over there. There are things that other people have that they don't have. So they crank up their hedge trimmer. And they go to cutting and whacking holes in the hedge so they can see and experience things that are on the other side. And that's not the same kind of hedge Job had. Job had a hedge that was built out of righteousness and holiness and purity. Last night I was on the web and I don't want to give any names out. That's I'm not glorying in it. But a seeker-friendly church pastor resigned because of a moral failure. This will surprise you. After the name of the church, there's an A/G. Assemblies of God. The reason is because he got his hedge trimmer out. You know, he had a series of sermons. This made me mad. It was the whoopee cushion gospel. And the title of a couple of them that I can call to memory, and I... Whoever smelt it, dealt it. Those are the title. That's the title for one of his sermons. Blame it on the guy in the elevator was the title to one of the other ones. He got his hedge trimmer out, friend, and he got to whacking on the hedge of righteousness and holiness and purity. And he didn't realize that not only could he see out, but it allowed the devil to come in. It allowed the devil to come through the hedge that God had originally decided would be our protection from those things. He wanted to have more people in his church. It was seeker friendly. Come as you are and stay the same. I looked... It was kind of prophetic last week. I looked at, there was another discussion about this, and I looked at the church's website, and this aggravates the fire out of me. If you go to a website for a church, it should have something on there about, and it's a Christian church, it should have something on there about how to be saved. You're a sinner on your way to hell if you're not right with Christ. It should have something on there about that. Not the seeker-friendly church. It's a marketing scheme. We can do this for you, and we can do that for you, and just come as you are. Not one mention on this Assembly of God Church's website on how to be saved. Not one. Made me mad. Can I be mad about that, brother? Did. But I got to looking at the ministerial staff. They had all their pictures there and quotes and, hey, listen, this guy's favorite band or favorite music was the Beatles. And he put it on the website. His passion said, and I don't remember what it was because I tried to just forget about it. I was so aggravated. But it says, what's your passion? It had nothing to do with Christ, the church, the ministry. Pete lost people. It had nothing to do with it. His wife's passion, now this I do remember, was running. Right on the website where they talk about, you know, this is who I am. I'm the leader of the church. And here's some things about me so you can get to know me better. Running was her passion. I was mad. But the Lord spoke to me and He said this to me. He said, and this was over a week ago, you'll be surprised to learn some of the things that go on with these people behind the scenes. And this very next week, sure enough, it came out revealed, the pastor, moral failure. It wouldn't surprise me that even on some of those folks there on that church webpage, that there's some closet, if you will, homosexuals there. It wouldn't surprise me at all that there were men and women on staff that were having a sexual relationship and they were married to other people. That wouldn't surprise me at all either. Do you know why it wouldn't surprise me? It's because of this hedge principle. Once you cut holes, let down, make piercings, have a longing for what's on the other side of the hedge, you'll never know what you allowed inside the hedge. You'll never realize. Because Satan wants to take us out. You open the door, what's that old saying? Give him an inch and he'll be your ruler. We go to whacking on the hedge. We need to stop. Because God's intent for you and I is to have a complete ring around us of His protection. Brother Martin told me of a story where he was gone away to a funeral where people had ill for you. Do you remember this story you told me about? And God, miraculously, people were out there to rob him, to mug him, to take him out. And God protected him. He never even realized it was so until it was way over, did you, brother? Told him about it. They were there to do him harm. But God's hedge of protection was around him. Saint of God, don't whack on the hedge. If it says it in here, do it. If it says don't do it, don't do it. If you don't, in other words, if you do the things you're not supposed to do and don't do the things you are supposed to do, there are holes in your hedge. And Satan is going to have free course to come right on in. Because if we sin willfully, God is under no obligation to protect us from anything. If we know that we're sinning, we've got to deal with it. And we've got to deal with it correctly. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you and I cannot afford to have holes in our hedge. We can't afford it. Because there's a battle, and the battle is raging. Amen. If nothing else this next week, be assured of this one fact. God wants to protect you, and you have an important part in it. And that important part is, just like Job had, he feared God, he was upright, he eschewed evil. It says he was perfect. If you know areas in your life where those things can't apply to you, this week, today, maybe even before you leave this church, plug up your hedge holes. Plug up the holes that are in the hedge. Confession. You know, we talk about this for the sinner, about confession and repentance, acceptance and forgiveness. We talk about that for the sinner. But do you know what? The child of God, too. The child of God, too. When they come to things and they know, Lord, I've offended you by sinning against you. I know it now. I repent. I won't do it anymore. This is Christianity 101, but this is where it is. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. Forgive me. Now empower me to never do those things again. And walk away from them just like we expect the sinners to do with their sins. Don't keep dragging it along. Don't make provision for it later on. Confess it, repent, and turn completely to Him. Amen. I can't afford holes in my hedge. The vision that I got about that was more like a bubble. Like a cellophane bubble. And that as a dad, my whole life, you know, after I got saved, I was constantly trying to push that thing out, you know, struggling inside that bubble to get it out around my family and people I care about. Getting that bubble of protection, that hedge, that of protection around about them. So that when it came to me that God would say something, do this, don't do that. Because I realized that there was a hedge. There's a ring around the righteous. And I wanted that hedge around my loved ones. I would do what He showed me. I would say, here I am, Lord. Your servant hears. It's time to quit. I could go into my outline. I'll do that next week. Study those scriptures there because God does want us to understand one thing and one thing for sure. He has a ring of His protection round about us. Brother Martin. That's right. Yeah, if you look at the book of Job there and go through it again and read that first chapter, you'll be surprised. It says, God questioned Job and he says, God questioned Satan and says, Satan, where you been? He says, walking to and fro throughout the earth. That's where I've been. And that whole time, here's what he came up with when he went around Job. He walked. He says, hey, I'm going to and fro throughout the whole earth, and I'm walking around Job here. I'm looking for an inn. I'm just looking for an inn to get in inside that hedge. The testimony he took back to God was, there's no way. You've made a hedge round about him. I can't get in there. He says, because if there would have been, this is Boyer theology again, too, because if there would have been an opening, I'd have sure went in there. But he'd have done it. He had taken Job way long before that. Amen. Brother. the men. Louder. Seeking whom he may devour. As soon as God drew back that hedge around some of the things, we see Satan's nature because he took them out. He didn't give them a boil. He didn't give them a little trouble. He took them out. If we're cutting holes in our hedge, that's exactly what Satan wants to do to you, and he's got an end. Don't let him. Amen. I'm done. Thanks for your input, brothers. God bless you.